Oh ya?
Rory's kitchen, I guess.
This is a chat, people. Can I hear?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can hear you.
Everybody, it seems to be a tremendous turnout over here. It's so nice to see so many familiar, old and new faces. Really very special. Just, I'm new to this, so just give a thumbs up if you can hear me. I assume yeah. Okay, great. So I muted everybody except for the Rosh Hashiva, and I guess I will read the questions. And if you have any haros, I think there's a way to send me a chat. Okay, everybody can hear me. The older boys are listening, and some mommies too. So we're going to go through the questions, and there'll be an opportunity to ask questions as well as we go. And actually, I'll probably mute myself at some point. Also, if things get loud over here, but I don't want to say I want to give a shalom aleichem to everybody individually. But there's so many of you that just to see your faces and to see some of your names is really, really very, very special. Now, without any further ado, I want to call upon the Rosh Yeshiva, and I'll read the first four questions that we have here. Actually, there are five. I got another one recently, and here they go. Question number one. If you want to know who asked the question, you can ask me later, but right now we'll keep it anonymous. As the Rosh Yeshiva mentioned in his Chizuk Shir, the Ran, among many other Rishonim and Achronim, hold that we have to look at times like these as a Musar and use them to grow in our Avodas Hashem. However, on the flip side, it is a much harder time to grow considering the fact that we are in our homes, which can bring many distractions. Should we be pushing ourselves to be excelling more than ever? Or should we look at this time with a more chilled out eye, understanding how hard it is to be on the very top of your game in such an environment? Rosh Hashiva. Was the question clear to everybody?
Chazal tell us
thumbs
that...
up if the question was clear.
First, whatever I'm going to say this evening, with your permission, is Lilu Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Leah Shalom, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Hena Bas Yehudalei. In answer to the question, which was a very significant and penetrating question, Chazal tell us that Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachei Hasharis. The Torah was not given to Malachim. Malachim are in Shamayim. Hashamayim, Shamayim, Hashem. That's where the Malachim, essentially, those are their environs. That's their habitation. V'yaretz nasa l'adam. Hashem gave us the ability to traverse the globus, and we're not malachei hasharis. Obviously, one of our obligations is to try to strive to go higher and higher. As the Baal Shem Tov indicated, And many others also have said, if a Jew does not go higher and higher, automatically he's going down and down, lower and lower. But we're not Malachi Asharis. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expect from us that which is not doable, that which is not weatherable. And even though we are now ensconced in a terrible, terrible Magepa pandemic, as it's known, but the Ramban laid down the Yesod in Parshas Vayera in the context of the Akedah, V'elokim Nisos Abraham. Hashem does not give a Nisoyon to individuals who are not capable of weathering it. So we all have the capacity and the ability to handle the Nisoyon, even though this Nisoyon is probably maybe one of the greatest Nisyonos in my lifetime that I remember. I don't recall any parallel situation in my entire lifetime. I've been on around the block a little bit, and I've never seen anything like this. And so even though the Nisoyon is difficult and obviously has many, many elements of tragedy to it, and Rahman al-Islam, people are unfortunately and tragically becoming very sick and even passing away, but the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the kochos, the ability to weather this Nisoyon and to try to navigate the shoals of it as best we can. So now, in terms of the specific question that was asked, what should be my attitude, my approach? Should it be one that I should try to excel as best I can, or should it be a more chilling out kind of response? And I believe the answer is that, on the contrary, now that we are in a difficult situation, now that we are confronted with a major challenge, with something which is really, as I said, probably unparalleled, unprecedented in our lifetime. So to a large extent, Hashem is testing us to see how we're going to act in the time of Nisoyon. Namely, all the abilities that we've acquired in the course of years, all the values that we've nurtured, that we've disciplined ourselves to adapt in our lifetime, all the midos that we've nurtured and cultivated now have to be really come to the fore. And to the extent that I'm anchored in the Torah lifestyle, which is what I should be, this is now going to be the litmus test. This will be a barometer to see where I am. Basher Husham. Hashem only tests the person, Basher Husham, as the Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah. And here, in my own home, now the question is, what am I going to do? And my behavior in my own home is going to reflect how anchored I am, how solidly grounded I am, where I'm holding, am I Avodas Hashem? This will be a major test for all of us, collectively and individually. Collectively for Klal Yisrael, and individually for each one of us who's being tested. And as mentioned in the question, of course, in one's home there are many distractions, undoubtedly. It's not a yeshiva setting. It's not my norm, not the normal setting that I normally find myself in. So now I'm going to have to demonstrate that all the elements that I acquired in the course of years will now come to the fore, and I'll be able to somehow find ways of putting them together in the ideal fashion. Avodas Hashem, of course, exists in a public context, and Avodas Hashem exists as well for each yachid b'yachid, for each individual. In a public context, it's much easier, because as Chazal tell us, tzaras rabim chatzi nechama. If I have a tzara that applies to many people, as is happening right now, that's a half of a nechama in and of itself, because ima anochi b'tzara, we're all together. So when we are in a collective kind of cohesive group, then it's much easier, because we have each of us to be mechazek. Ish yesu'eyu daber, the Rabbi says, u'l'achid yom hachazok. Each one can be mechazek the other one, and we do it in a public setting, in a communal setting, that's much easier. But now we're being asked to do it in an individual setting. And it's a new level, a new kind of avodas Hashem, a new genre that takes many more kirchas that have to be mustered, that have to come to the fore, and obviously it's not going to be easy. But there are, unquestionably, one of the things that we have, Ribbono Shel Olam is really amazing. He always provides the trufa before the makkah. Before the makkah, we have a trufa. The trufa meaning the medicament. Here in this case, we're able to utilize technology, which is itself a chidush gadol. Technology that came about, Baruch Hashem, Bizman, Hanachon, that we can now harness it and use it l'shem Shamayim. Of course, with all the guards, with all the shmira that is required, with all the filtering that is necessary. But here we have an opportunity to utilize technology to its fullest. We can have our courses that we can learn together. We can Skype together. We can talk together to each other, to be mechazik each other, to give tmicha, support to each other. We can listen to shiurim. We're able to go ahead literally, and in some respects, provide even more Talmud Torah than perhaps what we have in our natural kind of habitat, in our natural kind of setting. So here Hashem has given us the unbelievable ability, technology, which is one of the yitziros. We have four verbs that the Rabban speaks of when the Torah talks about creation, namely, bara, yesh me'ayin, and then the verb yatzar. And then we have two other verbs that are also utilized, asiya, and the way the Gemara has an Arabic sochin, the Lashon of Abdullah, all these four verbs are used by Hashem's Baruch in creating the world. Bara is yesh me'ayin, and yatzar is yesh me'ayin, and asiya is the makad bepatish, the completion, where we come together, everything comes together in a harmonious kind of interplay. So here we have the ability to use technology and the ability to learn Torah. What's amazing to me is that more people are listening to me now than ever before. And that's something which is personally a big schus that I'm able to be mezakeh the rabbin and a kindness on the part of Klal Yisrael or those who are listening, that I'm able to connect with them, to interact with them, and that obviously through Divrei Torah and the like. So in answer to the question, should I try to excel? I always should try to excel. If I don't go up, I automatically go down. It's much easier to go down in a home setting where there's so many distractions and so much Hesach Hadas. And Hesach Hadas is something which, of course, is not ideal when it comes to a Talmud Torah setting. But at the same time, all of us, Baruch Hashem, are B'nai Torah. All of us are steeped in Torah, steeped in commitment to Hashem is Baruch. And one of the major lessons that I saw in this unbelievable, terrible, terrible magefa, catastrophic kind of event that is occurring right in front of us, I see the Yad Hashem, and this has strengthened my emunah even more than ever before. My emunah became strengthened as a result of the fact that I see in one fell swoop the Ribbono Shel Olam could, Rachmana Litzlan, do what he did, a makkah that is literally almost indescribable, a makkah that is unparalleled, as I said earlier, and the entire world in one fell swoop is turned topsy-turvy. So there's a tendency to think that either a certain president of the United States, he's directing traffic, he's controlling the world, or perhaps his parallel individual in Russia, Mr. Putin, is controlling the world. At the end we see, Rabos machshavos b'levish v'atzas Hashem yisokum. The Belshan could bring the world to its knees in a split second. Keherafayim. The entire world engulfed, the entire world encompassed, the entire world literally in a behola, which of course is not a great thing. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, one of his shmuz, in the famous shmuz, he talks about on the Hoshanis. When we say the Hoshanis, so one of the sentences in the Hoshanis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save nefesh mi behola. The worst thing that we can do now is to panic. That's for sure. There's no reason to panic. We have to be mechazik each other and strengthen our amunah and Hashem is barach. And we also have to as well respond with, where we always respond, b'shas ha'gzera. U'tshuva, u'tfila, u'tzaka, mavin, esroa ha'gzera. Those are the time-tested methods in the crucible of Jewish history that have been utilized by Klal Yisrael. Tshuva, tfila, u'tzaka. And as my Rebbe, Hagoyin Adisim Abel Zatzal, always used to mention, step number one is limud ha'Torah. We have to increase. We have to recommit to our Limud HaTorah as best we can. We see that from the Shemoneh Esrei. When the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, v'karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha, v'achzireinu b'tshuva shemu l'panecha. Limud HaTorah is the key of tshuva. And it's step number one. If we once again recommit ourselves, redouble our efforts to study Torah, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, then the result will be v'karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha, and ultimately, and there's no doubt that Ribbono Shel Olam looks at the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, and the tshuva of Klal Yisrael is critical. And I mentioned in the Divrei Chizuk that I said the other night, the Gemara in Yevamos, and this is the subject of a drasha of the Ran, the sixth drasha of the Ran, and the drasha of the Ran, where he comments on this Gemara. The Gemara says, that Klal Yisrael to a large extent, is responsible for whatever Puranas comes to the world, because the Puranas ultimately is directed at Klal Yisrael. Why? Why are we the subject of that Puranas? So the Ran explains, initially, the Puranas will come in a distant geographic kind of location. It will not directly be aimed at us. But if we don't respond to the Puranas, if we don't somehow take hold of ourselves, and as the Sukkim Rabbi Mishlei, that the Chacham has to take Musar, the Chacham has to realize that we're part of this larger world and we're a very significant segment of this larger world, even though numerically we are obviously insignificant, as the Pasuk says, Lo Meirukhem Yikol Ha'amin, Choshak Hashem Bachem Vayivchar Bachem, Ki Atem Ha'ma'at Yikol Ha'amin. But the world was created for Klal Yisrael, as Rashi in Ramban, beginning of Bereishis, comment, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Bishul Yisrael, Shanikru Reishis, the Pasuk says in Yom Yahu, Kodesh Yisrael, Hashem, Reishis Tivuaso. We are the first Tivua of Hashem is Barach. And the world was also created for the study of Torah. The Gemara says in the Darim, in Chazal and Medrash, right at length, but Torah preceded the creation of the world. So the way the world was created, and the way the Zohar writes, Hisakol Baraisu Bra'alma, Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world, so the Torah is the blueprint for the entire world. And without the Torah, the world cannot survive, the world can exist. Ilulei, if not for the Torah, Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti, the Rebbeinu Shalom would have, the world would implode. The world would completely self-destruct. And therefore, the Kiyum HaTorah that we're able to do now, even though it's being done in exigency, in difficulty, in distraction kind of environment, ubechalzos. The way Shlomo HaMelech writes that af chochmasi omdali, Torah shevamadati ba'af omdali. When a person learns Torah under very strenuous and strained and constricting kind of conditions, the kima of Talmud Torah is even greater. Lefum tzaira agra. The greater the tzar and the greater the difficulty to commit oneself to the idea of learning, the greater the tzar that Hashem will give us. And that was shame about the other Shul Yisrael. So the nations of the world, as it did in our Magefa, in our pandemic, in our COVID-19 coronavirus, it affected China. And unfortunately from then, it expanded. It was mispashet, like Sugis and Shas, of Mispashtus, Rahman al-Islam, in Kopshim and elsewhere. It was mispashet, and it came to Eretz Yisrael as well. And came literally throughout the entire globus. And all of Klal Yisrael has now a mission, a very significant mission, to introspect. We have to do introspection, and we have to begin to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh carefully, and to put ourselves under this electron microscope and try to find out each one individually and each one of us collectively where exactly we have to be misaking ourselves, what improvements we have to make. And there's no question that we are ma'amin b'nei ma'aminim, as the pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Devavos from Tzfanya, and the Ran builds on that pasuk, that the reason why Hashem did that, first it was far away, and then closer, and then closer, and then closer, and finally it hit home. Why? Because we didn't take the hasra, says the Ran. We didn't take the warning. Ain onchin and kin mazirin. So this onesh comes with the hasra, similar to the makos in Mitzrayim. We know the makos are divided into three sets. Pesach, Mamash, Meshubah, Pesach is soon upon us. The Chodesh HaGeula, Benisa Nigalu, Benisa Nasidu Ligoyel. And this Chodesh HaGeula was preceded by Detzach Hadash Ba'achad. And we know that the first two markers of each set had Hasra. And Chazal say that one could also err, one could also be led astray. Kalarotza Litos, Yabba Viyite. Whoever wants to make a mistake and not interpret what is happening in a proper Torah digging kind of way can do so. But we are Torah Jews, we have B'nai Torah, we have the ability, we have Baruch Hashem, the antenna, we have the Avedas Hashem tools that were given to us by Limud HaTorah and by Yah Shamayim. They were able to examine what is happening in this worldwide globe pandemic. And as a result, we are very capable of handling it and we know how to respond. And we respond, as I said, with truth and feel it's not coming as far as we are. That's now being quoted by everyone, and the famous Rambam, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it. I'll just read you the language of the Rambam, Hilchos Tanios. The Rambam indicates in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tanios an obligation, a chiyuv in the Torah, lizok ulharia al kol tzara shetava latzibur. We have to cry out. We have to go and try our best to live down to Hashem with all of our hearts, And this is a din daraisa. The Rambam says, a din, apart from the shita saram, the tefillah in general is daraisa. The Rambam is a new halacha. That be'ez sara gedola, mitzvah saseh achas, he litzot with Hashem, we're obligated to cry out to Hashem. And the Rambam tells us, v'dava zeh midaki atshuvahu. This is considered to be connected to tshuva. Shebizman shetavot sara v'yizaku aleha. If a tzara comes and we scream out, why did it happen? We can only blame ourselves. We can only literally look carefully at our own behavior. And the Rambam says, what examples am I referring to? Batsoret Dever. One of the examples he gives is plagues, famine, arbe, zaku aleim hariyu. We're obligated to scream out to Hashem. And the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, when a tzara comes and we respond to it the way we should, that's why it happened. And the Rambam says, this recognition, this realization, this acknowledgement, once we acknowledge it and take proper action and respond appropriately, affirmatively, with the tools that we have, then Hashem is barach. B'chasodav ha'gdolim u'berachamav ha'merubim will hopefully be Ezra Hashem b'korov remove this magefa from us. Avolim lo yizakov v'lo yariyo, if we don't respond, ela yomru, dovazim amina kolom yiralonu, it's a happenstance, it's a coincidence. B'tzor azo nikro nikreis, it just happened. Said the Rambam Machmanu Litzlan, harei ze derech hazorius. This is a cruel, inappropriate response to this kind of pandemic, and this will cause us to sink even further. And the Rambam understands this in the context of Sukkim that are found in B'chul Kosai. You know the Tachacha, the Torah tells us twice in Chumash, once in B'chul Kosai, once in Parshat Kisavo, and there in B'chul Kosai, the Torah uses the following language, namely the language of Keri. In Telchu Imi Keri, if you walk with me, Keri. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim, how to interpret that particular phrase. But the Rambam interprets it in the following way, a very original, kedarko, distinctive interpretation of that pasuk. The Rambam says, if you don't see the Yad Hashem here, and you interpret this as simply being some pandemic that occurred, through some happenstance, through some coincidence, through some animal transmission of a virus, so the Rambam calls that carry, and Achmanu Litzlan, V'alachti gam ani imachem b'chamas carry. You don't see the Yad Hashem here. The Rambam says, God forbid, Achmanu Litzlan, the situation could be aggravated, could worsen. Tosif atzara, atzara sacheras. So, just to respond to the question, I think that one, in these circumstances, which are very difficult and very strained, one has to try one's best. In general, one should always try to excel, but one has to be also realistic in terms of the constrictions and in terms of the hagbalot. Obviously, the limitations are not in an ideal kind of setting anymore. U'b'chalzot. At the same time, one could be mispalel with incredible kavana. I'm actually now davening with more kavana than I perhaps daven when I daven b'tzibur, which is a shortcoming of my own. No one else's shortcoming. Jokingly, I told my family, usually I'm able to say every third word in the davening. And now, Baruch Hashem, I'm trying to say every word, and I'm saying it with a lot of kavana, because I really feel that my tefillos now are very significant, and I'm trying to daven literally bebechi u'dmos. I'm crying to Hashem Yisbarach that this should end as soon as possible, whether it ends of a natural kind of way, or miraculously, that to me, there's no distinction. I just wanted to end, Be'ez Hashem, and let Klal Yisrael, those that are undergoing tremendous Yisurin, let them, Baruch Hashem, let the situation be healed and be cured, and let the entire world as well have a menucha from this terrible, terrible magefa they were experiencing.
The next question, first of all, Yeshikov from Yeshiva, we have currently 96 people tuning in, which is a tremendous schus for the Rosh Hashiva and for the entire yeshiva. The next question was, what's the significance of davening at the normal time you usually daven with the minyan? now by yourself in quarantine? Meaning, is there any mila to stick with the your typical and usual time to daven minyanim, or can a person make his own new schedule? Is there a preference either way?
That's an excellent question, and it's based on a din of Shulchan Aruch. It's a mechaber. The mechaber paskins that in general, if a person is compelled to daven at home, either because he's not in a position to daven b'tzibur, whether he's rachman l'tzlan ill, infirm, not feeling well, or some other situation where there's no minyan available to him, so then he should try to daven at the time that the tzibur davens. Because the Gemara says in Brachos and Afches, hein kel kabir lo yimos, hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moes b'tfilasan shel rabim, and to the extent that a person is mechubar, is connected to the rabim, that's a tremendous chus. I've mentioned a number of times, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with it, the Targum, well-known Targum Unkelus, who comments actually in the Pasuk in the Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu gives Yosef an additional chelek, v'anim nasati lecha shchem achar alachecha, asher lakachti miyadu amori b'charbi v'kashti, so the Targum translates, b'charbi, as referring to b'tzlusi, and b'kashti, which is a arrow, bow and arrow, translates as b'usi. Those are the two terms, charbi and kashti. Charbi is translated as Tzilusi, which the Meshech Chochma and the Bris Galav both explain, refers to Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the person who has connection to a Tefillah B'Tzibur, that person automatically is armed with a sword. And the moment the sword is removed from its scabbard, the sword is able to pierce and to have a devastating kind of impact and effect. Because once I join the Tzibur, even though I may not necessarily have many Shchuyos, but the Tzibur is Mali Shchuyos. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, says the Navi. And therefore, the tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to respond al pidin to the tefillah of the tzibur. He can't say no to a tzibur. Hein kel kabir lo yimas. Hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moes b'tfilas en shorabim. That's a paskin halacha in Shulchan Aruch by the Rambam and by all Rishonim. So that is the chere. Masha'en ken, if I daven on my own, then it is comparable to the keshet, to the bow and arrow, depending on how taut I can go ahead and draw this, the bow and arrow, how taut it is. So the greater the metach, the greater the tension, and that impact, of course, is a function of who am I? What are my skuyas? Where am I holding? What is my avodas Hashem? So therefore, it's always better to join the tzibur. And even if I cannot join the tzibur, if I daven at the time that the tzibur davens, then I'm connecting myself, I'm mechubar to the tzibur. But that's only if the minyan is operative. If there's a minyan that's kayam, if there's a minyan that is taking place and that I'm accustomed to davening in, and I join with that minyan, with that tzibur, so that I'm connected to the tzibur. However, my understanding is that in Chutz Laaretz, most of the shuls are closed, if not all, and in Eretz Yisrael, we're not far from that. Again, a similar situation, which is something that in my entire life I never encountered, not being able to daven with the tzibur, not being able to go to a minyan. And as a result, the question that was asked was, okay, should I now daven at the time that the tzibur would normally daven, let's say the scheduled times for tefillah that are listed in the minyanim that of that particular shul, does that have any impact? So I don't think halachically has any impact whatsoever. However, I think the question is a good question because I think if a person does follow the schedule of the shul, even though no minyan is presently operating, so that is something which is critical because, in effect, it gives him a kvius. Just like there's a din of being kovei to la Torah, there's also an inyan of kvius in tefillah. Just like a person is obligated to be kovei makom b'tefilaso. So the Gemara says in Brachos, kovei makom b'tefilaso, okay, Abraham the Ezra, Hashem, the God of Abraham, will come to his aid. And when he's nifter, they'll say about him, hey chassid, hey adam, mitalmidu shel Avraham Avinu, the way the Rishonim explained over there, the kviyas of tefillah, just like the kviyas of Talmud Torah, the Rambam paskins the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be koveya ikim v'torah, to set aside fixed times. So if I have set aside fixed times to study Torah and fixed times to tefillah, now that I don't have those fixed times in the context of the tzibur, but if I maintain those fixed times, I think that's a good thing because this way I'll know that I daven shachris, I daven mincha, I daven marib, and if you begin to, unfortunately, unravel your schedule, your kviyas, your fixed, rigorous kind of schedule, then of course it's going to be hard to remember and it's easy to forget whether I daven mincha bizman, is it before shkia, after shkia, And so I think there's a very significant kind of kriyas that would be involved over here if one is able to maintain a fixed schedule that you make for yourself. And that, I think, is a wonderful thing, because also it shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, look, I'm trying my best, even though I have no tzibur, I have no minyan, I have no formal kind of schedule, but now even this informal kind of schedule, I'm being koveya makom, I'm being koveya zman with tfilosi, and halavai, and that also we should say, Elokei Avraham Be'ezra.
The next question. Hopefully at the end of this, it's Mashiach. But if a crazy thing like this virus happens and there's no Mashiach and the world just goes on, what did then Hashem want out of this? And if this isn't Mashiach, then what hope is there that Mashiach is coming anytime soon?
Wow. All of us know that Bog Yisrael has underwent throughout Jewish history many, many difficulties. Some of them seemingly were insurmountable. Some of them were, Hashem, were able to overcome. But at the end of the day, we somehow, even though we had each time a tremendous yerida, but in the eyes of Hashem Yisbarach, it was the yerida of the Tzorach Aviyah. There's no question that some are calling this in Eretz Yisrael, they call this entire Magefa Milchemet HaKorona, the Corona War, the War of Corona. The Gemara says in Megillah that Milchama Nami Aschalta de Geula. The Gemara says also that every Milchama that comes about has to do with Klal Yisrael. And every Milchama brings us further to the Geula. So every Milchama means every crisis, and every time we have a Mashber, and every time we have a difficulty, and there have been many, many difficulties throughout Klal Yisrael. And the truth is that anyone who examines all these kufos that we went through, quite often the thinking was that if we weather this kufa and get past it, Mashiach will be here. And this has happened many, many times in our history. So it's not a new phenomenon by any means. And even though for us it's clearly a very cataclysmic kind of phenomenon that's taking place right now, this pandemic, u'b'chozov, halavai, that Mashiach should come tomorrow, halavai, b'korov, that this should lead to the footsteps of Pami HaMashiach, because these kinds of tzoras are unquestionably harbingers of the Mashiach, Ein B'zeh Shum Safek. But even the Mashiach will not to come, Chas V'Sholom. Again, it will be a step closer to the coming of Mashiach. There's no question that we are living the Ikus of the Mashiach. That's being said by many Rabbanim, by many Gedolei Yisrael, who see the Mishnah at the end of Seita, that the Mishnah describes the Simonim of Mashiach are described graphically, and are described in a fashion where we almost literally can see each one of these Simonim materializing, coming to the fore. But as I said, we've gone through many, many tkufos in our life. And the Pasuk says in Dvarim that Hashem tells us, V'yadatim l'vavecha. Someone asked me today, how is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam is showing such anger? Isn't that a sign of Hester Panim? And I said, Pumfaket, just the opposite. It's a sign of Gilu Panim in a certain respect, namely, the way the Pasuk says in Dvarim, V'yadatim l'vavecha. When a father gives musar, chastises his son, and often that can cause pain, often that can be something which is laden with sorrow, but he's doing it, he wants to be madrich us, he wants to give us hadracha, the derech hatova. Because obviously we prefer the times when Hashem is being mesameach us, is being mefayis us, but this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. Sometimes with din, sometimes with rachamim. It's very fascinating that many, many years ago, I used to attend, as I mentioned, in the yeshiva many times, the shiurim of Agoin Avram Pam Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Das. I was a very young man. I was in my teens. And I remember that in one of the shmuzim that he said something very fascinating. At the end of Sefer Bereishis, we have Pasha Shmos. At the end of Pasha Shmos, we have Pasha Zvor Eira. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is thunderstruck by what's going on. And Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Pasha Shmos, says, that I thought by virtue of my becoming the Shliach of Hashem Yisbarach to go and redeem Klal Yisrael of Mitzrayim, things would get better. And instead, what's happened? We don't see any Hatzolah. We don't see the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. So what's going on? And so then Hashem is brought appears to him. And as we know, that the Pesukim tell us that Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. He tells Vayidabri Elokim and Moshe, beginning of Pashas Vayira, Hashem. All the Rishonim and that Pasha are struck by what seems to be an oxymoron in the Pasuk. It says, Vayidabri Elokim and Moshe, the Shema Elokim is you. You know the distinction between these two Shemos is well known. Elokim represents Midas Adin, that's what the Ramban writes, that is Perish Al Torah. Kamad, Rav Rishonim, accept that Elokim represents Hashem in Teva, Hashem in botany, the laws of chemistry, the laws of biology, the laws of nature, the laws of physics. That's the Shema Elokim. A tree that does not undergo photosynthesis, that tree will die. Because Elokim created the world. We know Perak Alpha Bereshis is the Shema Elokim. This Harav Soloveitchik, Zeyatzal Dibracha, Marenu Rabbeinu, so he was very fond of the two prokim of Bereshis. One is with the Shem Elokim. The entire Bria is founded upon natural law that Hashem created. Newton's law of gravity and all the other laws, thermodynamics and the like, are all embedded in the Shem Elokim. And the second parak, as you know, introduces the Shem Hashem. B'yom B'ro Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents the Shem Havaya, the Shem of Rachamim, the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with specifically Klal Yisrael, as we see in the beginning of Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Havaya Elokecha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzichem Eretz Mitzrayim. So we have here a merger in Perek Alpha, Perek Beis of Din and Rachamim, and that's how Hashem created the world. Hashem wanted to create the world only with Midas HaDin. He saw it was impossible, so he was Meshatim, Midas HaRachamim, Midas HaDin. So there's a Sefer, which is not so well known, but it's relatively well known, a Magid who appeared to the Beis Yosef. And the Sefer of the Magid is a well-known Sefer. So in that Sefer that the Magid told the Beis Yosef that he is the Pshat in those Pesukim that I just mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem, things are simply unconscionable. What's going on? How come things aren't improving? How come Mashiach is not here? How come the Gula is not here? And Hashem says, you don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu. You think that I operate either with purely Minas Adin or purely Minas Rachamim. Either it's all black and white. That's not the way it works. Just as we know, the world is also not black and white, and there are elements, heterogeneous elements that operate simultaneously. Not everything is homogeneous. Sometimes we see the Midas Rachamim, and we don't know, we don't really have a sense of complete light or complete darkness, and this we see throughout our history. And Pasuk Yeshayahu, the Navi tells us in Perek Yud Aleph, when the Navi speaks about the Chazon of Achris Hayamim, the Chazon of Geula, V'yatzah Chotem V'gezah Yishai, V'netzah V'sharosh of Yifrem, and it appears that we're talking about Chizkiyah HaMelech, but unfortunately in his days it did not happen, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Mashiach could have come in the days of Chizkiyah HaMelech. Those Tzukim are written for Achris Hayamim, and it didn't happen because we weren't Zota. And I saw a Malbim, an astounding Malbim. The Malbim comments on those Pesukim Yishayo, Perek Yud Aleph, the following. He tells us that the time was right for Mashiach Tzikeinu, and the time really was appropriate that Mashiach would have come and could have come. And the Vian began to prophesy in that direction. There will be a Goa Kloli that's going to come, and will be Makabis Nitzchah Yisrael. We'll all gather together. The Avakan for Saaretz. And then we know the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a famous stira of two psukim that if we are zoche, the pasuk says ani Hashem beita achishena. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? How can it be beita and achishena? How can Mashiach come in the right time and also achishena? I'll do it in a speedy, frenzied kind of way. The Gemara says zochu if klal yisrael zoche achishena. Hashem will speed up the geula. Lo zochu if we're not zoche beita. Then it will come in its time. So the Malbim over there writes that time was right. Mashiach could come, but unfortunately we were not zoche. Apparently we were not sufficiently connected through tshuva and masim tovim. And then this, the Malbim says, is something that has recurred throughout our history. So there's no doubt that this unbelievable magefa is min hashamayim, and clearly it could pave the way for Mashiach Tzikeinu. And halavai b'ez Hashem yisbarach, that through our powerful tshuva and tefillah that we're going to try our best to deliver to Hashem Yisbarach, will be able to be the impetus that Mashiach will come. Even if Mashiach does not come, it just brings us one step closer to the Gula. Because as I said, the Gemara says in Megillah, Mechol Maname Aschav the Gula Hi. Every Melchama, and this is a massive Melchama that we're in right now, and every Melchama is undoubtedly Aschav the Gula, is part of the step going towards the Gula Asiva. And even though the Gemara has a Machlokes Tanaim Rosh Hashanah, whether the Gula occurred in Nisan, the Gemara has a second opinion, Machlokes Tanaim, whether the Tishrei is the key month. And we know, we say, B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Asidun Ligoyal, but certainly this is an element of Gula that's built in, as the question assumes. There's an embedded assumption, a Hanacha here, that the Gula is built into this very Magefa. This Magefa has Simonim of Gula. And obviously it's going to be depending on us. And even if Chas V'Shalom, Mashiach does not come, there's no question, these are Chemle Moshiach, these are Yisurin Shal Moshiach, and it'll bring us to Mitzvah Hashem one step closer, and Halavai, this should be the element that brings about the Gula Shema, Halavai B'Karov, and the Magevi should be completely Me'atzara, should end Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, ASAP.
There's a follow-up question from the questioner, and based upon the last words of Rosh Hashiva, that this could be a lead-up of the Gula. So should that change the way the person davens? Meaning, if it's all for the best, and there's a possibility that this could lead to the Gula, how should somebody channel the way they daven? Should it be for this to end, or for this to be the hechatimsa, the medium to bring about the Gula? How should the person approach davening? And there'll be another follow-up question as well after this question.
I think if it will be the end, which I hope it will be, of course we should daven that it should end this Magefa, these Yisurin that we're now being subjected to, but halavai that end will have on the other side the light at the end of the tunnel, which is Mashiach Tzidkenu. As I mentioned a moment ago, many, many times in our history, and just to give you a few more examples, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. That's how the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam writes like that, and apparently he was mistaken. But Lamido Shel Dovar, he was right in the following sense. This man was mukhsha for gula. This man was ripe actually for a gula to take place. And Hashem Yisbarach only wants the fayes es amo v'nachaloso. Hashem Yisbarach only wants to fulfill all the nevuah, all the prophecies that are found in the Nevi'im. And certainly, as Chazal say, Bar Kokhba, Chazal saw in Bar Kokhba, the pasuk in Chumash, Dorach koichad miyakov. But unfortunately, once again, as the Gemara says, Garam Hachet. So I think that on the one hand, of course, we want it to end. We want the Yisurin to end, but we want the end of these Yisurin to herald the coming of Mashiach. And so we're allowed to daven for both, that this should be the end, and the Mageva should end, should terminate, should cease as soon as it possibly can. But on the other side, once that happens, Mashiach Tzidkenu Meher B'Yameinu should appear on the scene. We know even, for example, in the context of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, and the Inquisition, and the terrible things that went on during that medieval period, but the Ari HaKadosh, that he followed upon the heels of this terrible event, or sequence of events, and that's what the Hagoyim Rapam Zatzal used to point out, that often you have a massive Midas Adin, followed by a massive Midas HaRachamim. Right after that period of time, where Jews were expelled from Spain, and Portugal, and many other countries, not much later, we have in Sfas, in the rarefied city of Safed, we have the Ari HaKadosh, Hashem Alev Al-Kabetz, so many Gdolei Yisrael that somehow emerged, Mikubolim, Kedoshei Elyon, and they knew and they felt that the Gula Mimashmeshes Ubar, the Gula is right around the corner. And certainly they thought that the mountains of Tzfas, that they'll be Mekabel Penem Shiat Sikeno. And so the unbelievable anticipation and expectation was also there. Ki'ilu, they already felt the Pamiyah Mashiach. And in our day, there's no question, there's no doubt that, as I said earlier, many Gedolei Yisrael see the Simanim of the Mishnah Saita and see Chevel Mashiach and see a world that is almost indescribable. The entire world is topsy-turvy in so many different ways that it's almost impossible to try to resolve without somehow having some supernatural Mashiach kind of force that will come to play and resolve our issues, as we know from our learning of Gemara. Teiku, Tishmi Yitaris Kushis V'Abayos, and we have many Kushis and many Abayos and incredible difficulties, some of them seemingly insurmountable, As the Rizk Rav used to point out, not just the emuna in Mashiach, but the tzipia, the expectation, and the gaguim that we have, that Mashiach Zikenu will come from Hebi Amenu. So I don't see any stira between davening that it should end, HaKadosh Baruch should be merape, all the cholim, and everyone should have the ability to have their lives restored to them, but at the same time, that this should be the harbinger for Mashiach Zikenu.
Okay, the Yashi Perek Rosh Hashiva, the follow-up question, this in terms of v'yichidus, is there a maila, an advantage in davening k'vasikin? And should a person try, since he's davening by himself anyway, should he try to daven v'sikin under these circumstances?
I think this is an ideal opportunity for one to daven v'sikin, and we know that the Mishnah paskens in the Bi'ah Halacha, that if one davens v'sikin, which is the ideal time, the Gemara says, the brachas, that someone who davened in the Gemara speaks about an Amora, though Pasach Hucha Mipume Koma, he had a smile on his face the entire day. I once told Agoin, or I've never saw Shrita, and I know why now he has a smile on his face all day, because he davened for Sikhid every single day. So that's why he has a smile on his face. And he just roared and laughed almost out of control. And he told me, no, that's not the only reason why, because one has to be Besimcha always, and his Rebbe, Maran HaRav, Agoin HaShavazam and Oyebach Zatzal, was perpetually the Simcha 24/7, never a moment of Hesach Hadas from Simcha. So I think there was part of Davening Mitzibur. So that's a tremendous statement and a massive Chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah was Mechadish to us. And therefore, if one ideally can daven Vasikin, then Ke'ilu, one already has the Schus Atzilu Mitzibur as well. So if one is capable of doing that, then one should try to do that. But one should not do handstands or turn upside down in terms of making difficulties for oneself or for one's family, only if it's something that's convenient, that will not interfere with anyone else, that will not have any negative impact on anybody else. And in general, whatever we do has to be done with tremendous chesed. One of the very significant elements of this magefa is, once again, Klal Yisrael coming together. We have a lot of difficulty getting together. That's Yadua. The Gemara says, Keshem Shev, Partsufei Menem Shavim Kach, Yosei Menem Shavos. Just like our physiognomies are different, we look differently than each other. Each one has their own Madbeya. So too our Deos, our Hashkafas, are different from each other. And it's possible to have a variety of Hashkafas all within the Torah framework. There's no question about that. But we have difficulty making Shalom with each other. And often, this is what brings us together, these kinds of terrible disasters and terrible situations bring us together. The Gemara says in Megillah, I mentioned this already a few days ago, Dola Hasaras HaTabas, the moment that Ahasuerus removed his signet ring and gave it to Haman and gave him license, gave him the imprimatur, Lahashmid, Barog, Lahabis, Kala, Yudi, Minavi, Azoki, Papadoshi, Biomechon, the Gemara says that had a greater impact on Klal Yisrael than Memches Neviim, B'Shem Neviim, Shem Shabbat Yisrael. And 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that prophesied for Klal Yisrael. The impact of that signet ring. And I say the same here. Gedol HaAsaras HaTabas, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, removed his tabas and now has given imprimatur license to this magefa to engulf the entire world and Klal Yisrael, including many wonderful, wonderful members of Klal Yisrael, all Klal Yisrael, Kol B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Melochim, we're all kings. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has now given a license for this magefa to spread, and it's contagious, and it's communicable, and it's something which we don't seem to have control of, we have no shilton over. So this is the opportunity of a time for achdus, for us to get together, and to be mechazik each other, to help each other, to help those who are in a more difficult situation than we are, and to the extent that we can, even we do it through technology, even we do it by, as I said earlier, by being mechazik each other, and we can be mechazik each other by shmuzing with people, that the Oga B'Levish, the Gemara says, Yisichel al-Acheret, if someone has, and many people have Moli Doga, people are full of fright, there's a lot of fear, there's even a kind of panic, as I mentioned earlier from Abchaim Shulevitz, that's something we have to literally run as if we're running from a fire. We cannot at all demonstrate any kind of behava. We have to have emuna. We are maminim b'nei maminim. That this is again another phase in Hashem Yisbarach's handling of the world and Klal Yisrael. So I think there's an opportunity here for Achdus as well. But going back to the original question, the follow-up, there's no doubt we can daven basikin. That's a very, very powerful weapon. The Gemara says someone who daven basikin is assured there's a haftacha, he will not be nizak kolayim kula. His entire day will not be subject to nezak. Just like Mishnah Berurah quotes so many poskim who say that if one is makpid on kiddush levana, he will not be nizak kol achodesh. So here basikin is a haftacha sgula. The one will not be nizak kolayim kula.
Okay, Yoshkar for Shishiva. Another question. Since all mikvahs in many in New York area, one second, in Kutz Arts are closed, one of our Talmudim has a great etzah. If you were to fill up a hot tub with rainwater by leaving the cover open for a few days, would he be able to total things and pace up supplies in the hot tub that was filled up with rainwater over a few days? And if you can't do that, what are the options if you can't total them in a kelim mikvah?
We're talking about Tfilas
Kalim,
I assume.
Yeah, we're talking about Tfilas Kalim. We're talking about Tfilas Kalim and Kalim Mikvos are closed, I think, in the New York area, if not in the entire United States. And people have Pesach supplies. What are the options? And this was a novel idea. He's going to leave his hot tub open, uncovered. After a few days of rain, he'll be able to total it in rainwater. Is that acceptable? And if not, what are the other options?
You remind me of a sefer that was written in the early 1900s by a Rabbi Miller. And at that time, mikvahs, he was talking about mikvahs where women have to go to the mikvah, which of course is the din d'oraisa. So they were not so readily available. At that time, the Jewish community was nowhere near what it is today, neither in the United States nor in Eretz Yisrael, nor anywhere for that matter. And he had a suggestion that he wrote in the book called The Secret of Happiness. It's a book that's out of print. I happen to have a copy of it because I went searching for it many, many years ago, as I like to search for these kind of rare books. And he suggests over there that everyone should build a mikveh in their own home and do it out of a hamper, I'm not sure how to describe what a hamper is, but he has a very rather complicated kind of discussion of this. But the main issue that's being raised, that was raised also with his sefer as well, is the issue of Mayim Shuvim. As we know that the water that's shoved is possible for a mikvah, and the rainwater has to go naturally into the mikvah, not through all different types of man-made tubes and pipes and what have you. So if one could possibly arrange that kind of arrangement where the rain is going to go directly into a area which will, in effect, be pure rainwater without getting involved in anything man-made, then it will not be Mayim Shuvim. So theoretically, one can do that. It's not so simple to do something of that sort unless you are an architect or you have the capacity as an engineer or some other craftsmanship that you possess to do that. And therefore, the situation, which is not only in Chutz Lars, but also here in Eretz Yisrael, we have a similar kind of problem. Many people have called me about the issue of Tfilas Kalim, the new Kalim for Pesach, and now the question is how they're going to be told to them. So there are a number of etzos that I would suggest that I told the people here. Etzah number one is, if one possibly can, that one should give the kli as a gift to a goy, to a non-Jew. The halacha is a non-Jew is not chayav in tefillin. It's a din that applies only to a Jew. The Yerushalmi writes, the reason for tefillas kelim is because we want to take the kedusha, which a Jew has, and the kli that a Jew has. We want to go ahead and make sure that the kli, which came from a non-Jewish manufacturer, assumed it was manufactured by a non-Jew, so it should now go and be transferred to a Jew and have a Kedushas Yisrael, the Kli itself, almost as if we're talking about a person who's Tevel, a Ger, who's Tevel in a Mikvah. That's an analogy that Chazal drew, that just like a Ger goes to a Mikvah and now has Kedushas Yisrael, the same thing applies to a Kli that was owned and manufactured by a non-Jew, by a Goy, that now goes into the possession of a Jew, and now acquires Kedushas Yisrael. So if one is able to give the kli as a matana to a non-Jew, to a goy, and then ask the goy to borrow it back from them, that would be an ideal situation. Then it's a kli that belongs to a goy, and it's not chayav in tefillah. That possibility is not always something which is realistic, but assuming it is realistic, that I think is a great etzah that one could possibly do. A second etzah that one could be mafkir the kli, make it hefker in front of a bezin of three people, of the three Jews, and once it's hefker, then you are going to reacquire it from hefker, and thereby also be in a situation where you'll be able to use the kli without being tovel it. In general, I should point out that a clay shol, the Gemara says, the end of Avodah Zarah, that kelim shulim are not chayv in tefillah. Let's say I go to someone's home, they invite me for a meal on Shabbos, whatever it may be, and then I discover the kelim were not tovel, that they didn't bring the kelim to the mikvah, which is not uncommon in this situation. The halacha is I can still eat the food without any problem whatsoever. A clay shol, a kli that I borrow, is not chayv in tefillah. You'll be surprised to discover, I've discovered this unfortunately a number of times, when I went to different simchas, chasanas and the like, and I go to Baruch Hashem, to many, many chasanas, b'li ayin hara, ken yirbu, smacha b'Yisrael, we should have as many as we possibly can and more. So I often discover, I go into the kitchen to see what's happening in terms of kashrus and what have you, and not unsurprisingly, sometimes I discover none of the kelim were tovel. And this is a chasana which has 500, 600, 700 people. Wow. So of course, l'chatchila, it's not a proper thing. A kli should only go tefillah. The Ramban in Chumash happens to hold that tefillah is a din d'araisa. Most possibly assume tefillah is a din d'rabbanan, but the Ramban holds tefillah is d'araisa. So l'chatchila, what should certainly be kelim? I discovered the kelim were not tovel. So I asked the Baal HaBayit, why would you tovel these kelim? So he told me, do you know how many kelim I have? In one case is what the answer was. I have thousands of kelim. I can't bring all these kelim to the mikvah. I said, why not? This is a pasuk in Chumash according to Ramban. And a din shavuot according to Rav HaPoskim. Why can't you do it? So he explained the difficulty. But at the end of the day, when I come to that person's home or I go to a chasana, the kli for me is a kli shol. It's a kli that's borrowed. A kli shol is not chayv in tefillah. So at the end of the day, whatever etzah you'll come up with, the din is that the food that I'm going to eat is not going to be affected. So if you are hard-pressed, and you don't have any other choice, and your options are limited, so then what you'll do is you'll simply, if you have to use the kli, you'll use it, not the chatchila, but the eved, the food will not be affected, the food will be kosher, and then immediately, the moment that the mikvosa wants to get open, Baruch Hashem, you'll go and be tabled the kli. Right now, you can't do it, because even the kelim mikvosa that are open here in Eretz Yisrael are not exactly operating in the most sanitary of conditions. And in order for kli to be properly tovel, the issue is not hygiene primarily, but still hygiene is a very significant element. We don't want chas v'shalom someone to become infected, God forbid, and every mikveh has to be properly chlorinated, the proper measure of chlorine has to be properly sanitized, and so we have a difficult situation, and if one can do without using that kli, of course that would be ideal in many, many respects, and therefore, even though one wants to use the kli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our machshavos, and he knows that we are operating under all kinds of handicaps and hindrances, and Hashem will take it into account unquestionably, and will be down to our credit, even if we don't use the kli this Pesach, but if Yitz Hashem, as soon as we have the chance to be tovel, we'll do so, Yitz Hashem, and be able to use the kli b'simcha.
Okay, there was a follow-up question that was sent in. What about natural water? Many of the boys have access, obviously in Eretz Yisrael, we're limited access. Again, if we're near the Yam, it's one thing, but in the many places in New York and other places in the country, natural water is accessible. Is natural water a spring or a lake preferable? Or
one could certainly use a mayim, and one could use a natural spring. That is something which is possible. Again, the issue generally happens to be that under those circumstances, certainly I would make sure that I have a reshet, some sort of a net, so I would not lose the kli, it should be submerged in the water, then I have to go dive in, and who knows what, I have to do all kinds of acrobatics in order to be able to salvage the kli. So, but assuming one has such access, and assuming one's allowed to travel, I imagine, like, what I understand, again, I don't know all the particulars of what's happening over there in Chutz Laaretz, but here, they are now police who are literally everywhere. I imagine they have what they call National Guard, over there in the United States, but here there are police who are patrolling the streets, and they're trying to more or less limit people to going shopping for food or for pharmaceutical items that are necessary or, God forbid, medical emergencies. Other than that, I don't think they want us to go to natural springs. And I understood that one of the problems that both here and there exists is that people were, till a few days ago, at beaches and doing all kinds of things together, large crowds of people that only, unfortunately, put others in great sakana. So I want us to avoid putting anyone in sakana. There's a text in Baba Kama, Chav Gimel, that Tosfos writes that it's more important and more significant that a person be careful not to cause anyone else damage. Chas v'sholom, I shouldn't be mazik somebody else as a person, as opposed to myself being damaged. That's less significant. Of course, that's also significant. But the Shmatim Elvin Ashol Seichem is a pasuk in Chumash that is interpreted by Rishonim, the Gemara in Brachos, and the Rambam brings it to Halacha. As well, how careful one has to be, not only with my health, of course, but also, God forbid, Rahmanul Litzan, we should do anything that would, in any way, Rahmanul Litzan, cause damage, cause nezek. I'm talking about medical injury, cause someone else to be in a situation of even suffering sakana. We know that's the reason why, somehow, one of the messages that I've tried to give over is something which is found in the Netziv. In his Perish HaLatera, and the Netziv in his Hagdama to the Shiltas, and the Netziv in his Chumas and Meshav Dabar, the Netziv has this very fascinating approach. When he lays down the Yesod, then he repeats this Yesod so many times, in all the Svarim that he writes. And one of the issues that the Netziv laid down is a very fascinating issue. Many people here in Eretz Yisrael ask me, many of my Balabatim ask me, I don't understand. You closed your shul down a week ago, and you're essentially now in a kind of self-quarantine, and daven b'yechidus, and I'm trying to daven, as I said, with all the kavanah I can possibly muster, but there's Hagoyin, the Sar HaTorah, of Chaim Kanievsky, who indicated what seems to be a somewhat different kind of position. He obviously feels that people should still be connected to to whatever the medical authorities tell us, so we have to keep our distance from each other. But in terms of davening, we should still maintain that. But again, only up to 10 people, which is difficult to control, especially if you're in small, constrained kind of areas. How do you possibly argue with Chaim Kanievsky? And my response was, Chas v'sholom. I wouldn't have the effrontery to argue with the Goyin Ador of Chaim Kanievsky. But of course, what's the answer? Tzvei dinim. And these tzvei dinim are explained by the Netziv throughout his Perish HaLatera. In the Sefer Rina Shel Torah and Pasuk Yisrael, in the Akdama of the Netziv to the Shiltas, the Netziv has a very fundamental yisod. He points out, and it's based on the Ramban in Pasuk Zachrimos. The Ramban speaks about two different types of Ashkocha. There's one Ashkocha, every Jew is Mushkach, every Jew is under divine providence. Hashem is Baruch, the Ashkocha of a Kol Yisrael is unbelievable. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, it's even greater. As the Pasuk says, Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo, Mereishis Hashana Nachri Shana. But the Ashkocha of Hashem is on every single Jew. So now the question is, what is the nature of that Ashkocha? So the Netziv explains there are two types of Ashkocha. One is for individuals similar, let's say, to Avishai David, who's trying his best to be a Shem Torah Mitzvahs, and he's working hard, but he's not necessarily always successful. There are ups and downs, there are zigzags, there are Aliyos, there are Yeridos, and he's also connected to the world at large, to the Elam HaGashmi. From time to time, he likes good ice cream, and especially if it's Ben's and Jerry's and Chol of Yisrael, even better. Those are the only ones that he eats. So he's still connected to the world, so he has one kind of Ashkocha. It means Hashem is Mashkiach on him, and I assume all of you perhaps are in the category I'm going to mention in a second, but I'm certainly in that first category, and therefore, if that's the situation, one cannot do anything which will chas v'sholom be neged ha-teva and lead someone to a sakana. Be mistaking someone else's lives, because then Ashkocha will not be responsible for that which is going to happen. So then one has to be extremely careful to such an extent that all of a sudden people have become so zealous with him, and so zealous with Satana, such zealotry we saw before. Now we saw the zealotry, and that is Maisa Sutton. That's pure Yetzirah. That's trying to mislead us and literally take us off the path, the Derech HaTorah. And it writes, God forbid. The second level of Ashkocha, the Ramban describes the sin is completely minuk. The Olamagashi from the material world. He's almost completely ruchnius. He's almost the Malach Hashem Tzvokos. We have Dol Yisrael, who reached that level. And undoubtedly, the Sa'a Torah, Maran Hagoyin Abchaim Kanevsky Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomav, is of that caliber. So he's operating with a different Ashkocha. So I told the person, the Kasha is no Kasha. What is for Abchaim Kanevsky or for people of that ilk, of that caliber, is not the same as it is for myself, of the people of my stature, of my lower stature. These are two different levels of Ashkocha. But certainly, during the time of Sakana, especially a Sakana that affects the entire Tzibur, I'm not talking about this already has been mentioned by Agoyim of Heschel Shechter Shlita and by Agoyim of Asher Vayt Shlita. This is a Sakana that affects the entire Tzibur. When you have a Sakana that affects the entire Tzibur, you don't say, Shem Yipsoyim Hashem. You don't say, I'm not bothered by the Sakana. I can do as I wish. I'll go on my own merry way. Chas v'sholom. There were even Rabbonim that I heard from a very chashid Rav, he's an Adam Gadol in Queens, that he said that someone who has a private minyan or someone who is doing things that are not in sync with the Mishpat HaBriyot, the Department of Health or the health authorities, is a Sofik Retzeach, a Sofik Redif. And also Vitei Asadin Azeh. He's going to have to give a cheshbon and accounting in Shamayim when it comes to Shamayim after 120 years of that kind of behavior. So I think that we are obviously challenged and we are clearly being put to a test, but as I said at the very beginning of my remarks this evening, that test is only given to people who are capable of weathering the soil. And the other Rishonim learned, well, okay, Nisa es Avraham, the word Nes doesn't always mean to test, but Nes means lahalot al Nes, that a person can be elevated as a result of such a test. A Nes is a banner that's unfurled. The sim also al Nes, by the Nechash Nechoshes, the Pasuk Chumash, there are many such psukim that would prove that idea that the word Nes is not only Nisoyon, but Nes also refers to someone being elevated, being brought to a higher level. Every Nisoyon that Hashem gives us is another the Romei Masana, that we should be elevated to a higher level of Amuna, and we all have the capacity to weather the Ezra Hashem is brought with Siyata Dishmaya, with the proper Chuba Tfil and Slug of this Nisoyon, and Halavai that Emes Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, should only bless us with, we should hear, Suros Tovos, Yeshuas V'Nachamos.
Amen, amen. We have two more questions. We'll try to make them quick. Question number one is that if the person does not have the opportunity to participate in Kriya Satora, is there an obligation, a recommendation, or to read from a Chumash? Both the question applies to Shabbos and Mondays and Thursdays.
So this past Shabbos, I was not zochet to be for Vayakal B'Kudei in a shul. I didn't have 10 men. I was in my home with my immediate family, without a minion. And so I was makbid. First I read Shnayim Mikra Mechatarga very carefully. I laid the parsha, and I told some of them to have a Sefer Torah. They could eat later from the Sefer Torah. It's a proper thing to do. I laid the Chumash. I learned Shnayim Mikra Mechatarga. I did it actually several times in the course because I had more time on my hand. I also read the Haftarah, and I think that's what one should do, both on Shabbos as well as Monday and Thursday, assuming that there's no minyan, and Kriya Satora was not in the context of 10 people. In Eretz Yisrael here, there were a number of situations that came up where people asked me, they're on Mir Pesot, they're on these porches, which are outside, and there are other porches opposite them, and also to the side of them and either side, and they're able somehow, through 10 porches, to have 10 people who are not that distant from each other, sufficiently distant for social distancing purposes, way beyond that, even, I would say, 20, 30 feet from each other. And they were able to arrange. They asked me, are they Mitzura to a minion? And I thought as long as they can see each other, they are Mitzura to a minion. And they actually had Kriyas HaTorah. That's what they explained to me. And now they're davening, apparently, in such a fashion, each one on their own porch. They're davening Shachas Mincha Maariv, and they have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. That's, of course, an ideal kind of state, but it's a very rare kind of event. I'll just mention that I happen to be a Talmud of Gedolei Yisrael, Arav Soloveitchik Zatzal, who held that Kriyas HaTorah, similar to the Vilna Gaon, is a Cheves Yochid, not a Cheves Rabin. The Pashtus of the Mishnah Megillah, Al-Chav Gimel, and the Ramban, and all Rishonim, Tesis in Sefer, Tesis in Rochis, that Kriyas HaTorah is a Cheves Tzibur. If I have a Tzibur of 10 people, I'm Mechuyim Kriyas HaTorah. If not, I'm not Mechuyim. There's no formal obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, but they held it's a Cheves Yochid. And the Vilna Gaon was in prison for a certain time. And when he emerged from prison, he was mashlim all the kriyas that he was chasir in during that period of time that he was in prison. And I've been in that situation, not in prison, chas v'shalom, but I've been in chutz la'aretz a few times where there was a double pasha here and a single pasha there. And I was in a difficult position, and I was, Baruch Hashem, a number of occasions able to put together a minyan where I learned the entire parsha of the that I missed, and the parsha of that Shabbos. I was able to be mashlim that. People have asked me, are you going to do that after this is over? Let's say it's a few parshas. How do you plan on handling that? That Adayin Tzorach Iyun. But I think the proper thing to do is to read the Chumash inside and try your best to maximize your study of the parshas HaShavua. And read it as well on Monday and Thursday.
Okay, thank you very much, Rosh Hashiva. Now I have a long question here. It's one of our parents, and we'll see how you respond. I'm wondering how halachic imperatives can be suspended to such an extent for this particular virus, whereas the influenza flu, which kills 35,000 to 67,000 people every year in the U.S. alone, does not warrant these kinds of restrictions. I'm wondering upon who we rely upon to decide that this is different than another form of virus, such that we can shut down the world and suspend shuls and schools and pronounce, et cetera. What about the lives lost from the economic downfall of the world, loss in income jobs, which will result in hunger and Rahman al-Sun suicide? Do they factor into the B'chai Bahem aspect
The question really should be addressed to the medical authorities. I am not a doctor. I'm not a medical authority. I'm only a Rav. And there's no question that the response of not just the government here in Eretz Yisrael, but I imagine the American government or individual states and governors who are responding to the situation is primarily founded upon the evaluation of competent infectious disease specialists, medical practitioners, people who have expertise in this area. In general, in determining what a sakana is, Chazal clearly evaluated it based on the doctors of their generation. When the pasuk says the chumash for rapo yirape, the kanchin didna reshus sarapu the rapo, the gemara baba kama. And the Gemara in Brachos has a machlokus amarayim, whether this is ideal or not ideal, but we pass in the halacha that when it comes to areas of sakana or medicine, we follow doctors. That's exactly how the Rishonim point this out, very, very clear. And there's no doubt that the Shulchan Aruch says that explicitly. Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos, it writes in Shin Lamed Aleph, the Mechaber Paskins, that we follow the doctors of our generation, and it doesn't make a difference, even though maybe in the Gemara has its own medicine. We don't follow the medicine of Chazal, we follow our medicine, which, thank God, we've advanced technologically and medically. We've made the quantum leaps in our knowledge of medicine, and therefore we follow the doctors of our generation in terms of what is a sakana, what's not a sakana. And there's no doubt that here, doctors, even though it is true that I even heard the President of the United States, Donald Trump, this was one of his issues, that many, many people die from influenza, from the flu, 30,000 people a year. But from what I understand, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. I don't have medical background. But I was told by many, many doctors, I'm now in contact with about seven doctors, several infectious disease specialists here in Eretz Yisrael, and they told me, ain't no dumb man. You cannot compare the influenza, the flu, to this COVID-19 virus, to this coronavirus. There's no comparison whatsoever. This is completely much more contagious, much more infectious, much more communicable, and not, even though the flu clearly has devastating kind of consequences, as we just mentioned, but the two are not comparable here. Potentially, millions of people, Achman al-Litzan, could be affected by this virus, and therefore the sakona, from their perspective, from their medical perspective, is far more serious and far more devastating than when talking about the influenza. There's, beyond that, influenza, there is a vaccine that is available that Baruch Hashem, most of Klal Yisrael, if not Rovo Klal Yisrael, utilizes, and that has undoubtedly, to a certain extent, stemmed the tide of probably many other consequences that would have been Rachman Litzan, again, devastating. Here we have no vaccine. There's a lot of discussion in terms of the President of the United States and others in terms of different drugs. But right now, as this gentleman that I heard once or twice already, Dr. Fauci, seems to be the chief of the infectious disease control specialist over there in the United States, he's indicated that we don't really have sufficient evidence, laboratory evidence or FDA evidence that would justify the use of that particular drug for malaria. And so we have a situation where doctors themselves have indicated this is a sakana. And we cannot ignore even a subic sakana. We know the din is that a subic sakana is doched hilchos Shabbos. And we know that a subic sakana is doched basically kol ha'torah kula. And so we're talking here about certainly a subic sakana, and you're right. The mitzvah v'chai b'hem l'shiyamas b'hem. This, the Gemara says in Yuma, the Gemara on Daf Pehei, that that's certainly a very significant and probably the most important of all mitzvahs. That the Torah wants us to have arichas yom b'shanim. And that's why Chazal say, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, that yofesha achas of Torah masim tovim v'olam hazeh v'kol chayim v'abah. And the Tzitz Eliezer writes in the Tshuva, Rav Aldenburg, that even if chas v'sholom one is in pain, that every moment, every second of life is to us sacred and has a certain kedusha, and therefore that's something that we should be cognizant of, namely even a subic sakana or a sex sveka, even a double subic of sakana is something that we have to violate Shabbos or any other Aveira. So of course we have to go ahead and do that which is necessary in order to preserve life. I heard the Hagoyim of Heschel Shechter that he actually said something very fascinating, that he pointed out that many people mistakenly think that our religion places a lot of emphasis on respect, kavod ames, having respect for the dead. We say Kaddish, we have Yizkor, we have Yahrzeit. Tonight is the Yahrzeit of my mother-in-law, Leah Shalom, and that is not correct, he pointed out, because the reason why we have kavod ames is because we have kavod achayim. We show respect for the living. And the Gemara points out, if you have a conflict between kavod achayim and kavod ames, there's no question, kavod achayim takes precedence. Very interesting, he said, that when the chevra kadisha, usually they bring the aron in, so everyone stands up at a levaya, at a funeral. So why do we stand up? So people think they stand up out of kavod for the niftar, for the person who passed away. But he asked the Rav Shechter, in many cases, when the person was alive, we didn't stand up for him. Even when we're going to stand up for him. For example, the pasuk that the Torah tells them, they save a talk about that, and okay, that's a chiyuv d'oraisa, to stand up for a seva, whatever the age of a seva is. Certainly the age of 70, perhaps even the age of 60, certainly standing up for a talmid chacham, these are psukim v'chumash. So we didn't stand up for them when they're living, so now why are we standing up for them when they pass away? So the Mefarshim point out, and this is mentioned based on the Gemara Kedushin, it's a Mishnah Bikurim, it's a Batanura, that they point out that we're not standing up out of respect for the Niftar, but we're standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha, who are doing a mitzvah. And therefore, the whole idea of respect for someone who's living is based on the premise that all of us who came to B'Tselem are Elokim, as the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Chavi Vodam Shelim B'Tselem, whether we're talking about Jews or non-Jews, we're all created in the image of God. And the Torah, in effect, wants us to demonstrate Kavod Ames. It means that, what are we doing? We're showing respect to the person, to the Tzelem Elokim, that was unfortunately squelched. The Tzelem Elokim is no longer with us. And that's what we're showing Kavod. And the Chevra Kadisha is about to do a mitzvah. I once heard from my goyim, Rav Kamenetsky Zatzal, that he told me the reason why we get tzedakah when we say in the morning, the tefillah, in the middle of by Baruch David. So many give tzedakah when we say, and we stand up. Why are we standing up? So he told me the reason is simply because the guy with tzedakah is going around doing a mitzvah collecting tzedakah. So we stand up in the presence of someone who's about to do a mitzvah collecting tzedakah. And the marker is the Mishnah Bikurim. The Mishnah Bikurim tells us in the last parak that when Klai Yisrael went to the Beis Hamikdash to bring Bikurim, the Pasha Kisabo, so the Anshei Yerushalayim would stand up for the people who came with Bikurim, because they're about to be Mekayim the mitzvah. So again, I think that going back to the original question, undoubtedly v'chai b'hem is the overriding element that we have to be concerned about, and a critical element, that's really what the Torah wants. The Torah wants us, Sheyasa Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bo'em Ani Hashem. The Torah wants us to live a fruitful life, a productive life, and any situation of Sari Sakhana is determined by medical authorities. They're the ones that are given the samchut, they're given the authority to determine what is considered to be a sakana. And to a large extent, I see, for example, there was a letter that was shown to me by a very chashuv doctor in Queens. He wrote a letter to Hagoyim Moshe Sternbach here in Eretz Yisrael. And Hagoyim Moshe Sternbach closed down some of the shtiblach, or all the shtiblach in Har Nof, based on this letter from the doctor who spelled out for him, delineated the unbelievable suffix sakana. We're talking about chayim and mavis, life and death. And when it comes to life and death, that can only be determined by medical authorities. And we subscribe and we listen to the medical authorities. On the contrary, I feel we should literally follow them every proper prop. Especially we're talking about many, many frum doctors who are involved, who have weighed in on this. And they're all yireim u'shleimim, many of them are fine talmidei chacham themselves. Those are the people we have to follow. And they have indicated, ein adome. You cannot compare the influenza, the flu, even though unfortunately and tragically many deaths occur with the flu, but it can't be compared to this COVID-19 virus, which clearly, potentially could have a far greater effect than the influenza or the virus that we are accustomed to.
Yeah, Shukav, Rosh Yeshiva, we can't thank you enough for giving us chizuk, hadracha, and a taste of your wisdom. And a big shukav to everybody that tuned in, all the alumni, current talmidim, the parents. And we should be zocha. Torah is magli matzli. We should all be zocha to protection. All Klai Yisrael should have refuah shalema. We should see the gula shalema meherimino. Amen.
I just want to thank all the wonderful alumni of our yeshiva. Just have nachas seeing you. Many of you are seeing on the screen. And Hashem should give all of us a mitzvah. A chak kosher and refuah shalema to all those who are not well. Claudius should be as Rav Goldschmidt Shlita said a moment ago, only to Yeshua Hashem Terafayim bin Her B'Yamin.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Are you missing her?
Oh, I'm waiting with you.